Thank you. Good day, friends. We again come to you. We rejoice in the privilege that is ours of spending time with you each day in the study of the Word. We are encouraged when we know that so many people have been blessed and edified and built up in the faith. How glad I am for some letters from those who have just become Christians, babes in Christ, and yet hungry for the Word of God. And I would say to such this morning or today that you stay in the Word of God. The second chapter of 2 Peter is warning us concerning false teachers who would come to destroy your faith, to detract you from the person of Christ, to set your heart on things down here instead of things in Christ, who would seek to rob you of your joy and peace, and also to destroy the hope which you have in Christ. And you know, when one talks to some of these people who do not know the Savior, who would seek to destroy you, when you ask what their philosophy gives to you, or does it bring any hope to one's heart, they have no hope. They have no hope. Isn't it wonderful to have one who has given to us a hope, and that hope is guaranteed by the faithfulness of God, that what God has said He will surely perform, that He works all things out after the counsel of His own will, that none can say to God, "What doest thou?" None can stop Him or hinder Him working out His own purpose. I tell you, my friends, we have a real living Christ. We have an omnipotent God. And all the forces of men and hell will not change or prevent the fulfilling of God's purposes. And how glad I am for a Savior who put away our sin, who burst the bands of the tomb, who defeated all the powers of the enemy, and that we could find in the Word of God that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. So whatever the opposition may be, from men or from hell, we have a Savior who is victorious, a Savior who has all authority in heaven and earth and under the earth. He is above all principalities and powers in the heavenlies. In fact, our Savior is the one who has been enthroned to be Lord of lords and King of kings. And He is the one who has been designated by the Father to be the judge of men. And my friend, He's going to judge righteously. Even though today He is manifesting His love and His grace and His compassion and His tenderness for men, the time is coming when He's going to come in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and who obey not the gospel. Now in 2 Peter chapter 2, we've been dealing with these false teachers who would seek to destroy the faith of God's people. And we found in verses 10 to 11, the corruption of these teachers concerning our minds. In fact, I would say from verses 10 to 19, we're dealing with the footage of the false teaching of these corrupt teachers, these who would destroy the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we've been saying in the beginning of the chapter, their judgment is sure and it's certain. And if God spared not angels and the old world and Sodom and Gomorrah, He's not going to spare them. And so we have in verse 11, 10 and 11, the corruption of our mentality by these false teachers. Their minds are full of moral filth. They're unclean. They despise authority. They're defiant. They're haughty. They're arrogant. They're daring. They defy all spiritual powers. In fact, they're more arrogant than even Michael the archangel, who when he was facing the devil and disputing with him over the body of Moses, he did not say, "I rebuke thee, Satan." He said, "The Lord rebuke thee." Not these false teachers. They defy God. They defy all principalities and powers. Now we go along in the footage of their teaching in verses 12 to 14. Not only was does the mind of man become corrupted by their teaching, but their morals become corrupted. Allow me to read 12 to 14. "But these as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things that they understand not, and they shall utterly perish in their own corruption, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to ride in the daytime. Spots they are and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you Christians, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, hearts that have exercised covetous practices, cursed children. I tell you, these are awful. Peter certainly uses some terrifically strong words. Moral corruption. They live like beasts. And where are they? Among God's people. Now let me read again from the book of Jude. These are spots in your feasts of love, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I've been reading from the book of Jude, verse 12 on. Terrible picture. And the fact is, as one translation puts it, as irrational beasts, born to be captured and destroyed. They bring in their self-indulgences, they bring in their looseness, their licentiousness, even among God's people. They're blasphemers, denying the precious Son of God who died for them. They sport themselves in your presence. They live luxuriously, full of revelry. They perish in their own corruption. And as one writer says, they shall in their own destroying surely be destroyed. In destroying the faith of people, it will react on them that they themselves will be destroyed. In fact, they shall receive the wages of iniquity. And as Galatians chapter 6 says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now this is true. A man's doctrine, what a man believes, will be evident by what he does. If your doctrine is wrong, your walk will be wrong. And if these evil, false teachers, full of poison, whose great desire is to destroy the faith of God's people, and they corrupt your mind, and one could spend some more time on this, because this is what's happening today in our colleges, seminaries, and universities, corrupting the minds of our young people, and they're doing it with an arrogancy that would never have been dreamed of 25 years ago. They would have been pitched out of the schoolroom. They would have been fired immediately. Not now. Not now. In fact, they defy not only principalities and governments and powers, law, but they defy the living God. They ridicule the person of Christ. They throw out the Bible as an unclean thing. And they make mockery of the people of God. And they do it blatantly. They do it arrogantly. They do it openly. And the footage of that, of course, are these next verses, which we've just been reading, 12 to 14. They not only corrupt your mind, but they corrupt your morals. Why, this is insane. Everybody's doing this. It can't be sin if everybody's doing it. My friend, that's just the trouble. The very fact that most people do it means it's sin, because people are full of rebellion against God. And I repeat it again, ignorance of God produces sin. And if you throw God out of your life and throw the Bible out of your life, my friend, your life will be full of lawlessness of one kind or another. Sin is no longer sin. You go to some of your psychiatrists and psychologists, not all of them, but some of them, and sin is only a guilt complex. Set yourself free, says one doctor. Set him free. Go out and do your thing. Do what you want to do. Don't hold things up in your life bottled up. Get rid of that tension. Let go. Let go. Do your thing. And that would be moral corruption as a rule. licentiousness, sinfulness. No wonder Paul said the term of the evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. So they not only corrupt your minds, but they corrupt your morals. We see this today on every hand. And the thing that breaks pastors' hearts, the thing that breaks Sunday school teachers' hearts, is to find men and women and young people who at one time apparently claimed to love the Savior, living loose lives of immorality. And this wave of moral corruption has swept over into even many evangelical churches, so that this question of immorality is looked upon now as the thing to do. Nothing wrong with this, as long as you love each other. It's not love, it's license. It's not lawful, it's lawlessness. And did you ever notice that whenever the Word of God speaks of the judgment of God and the wrath of God, it's generally against moral corruption? Why did the flood come upon the old world? Because of moral corruption. Why did the judgment of God fall upon Sodom and Gomorrah? Because of moral corruption. And what was the moral corruption the footage of? Corrupt minds. Corrupt minds. God left out. I repeat it, my friend, very bluntly, that when the Word of God is ruled out of a life, of a family, or a society, then you rule in lawlessness. You know, our Lord one time said this: a person cleansed his house of evil spirits, and then the evil spirits came back with others because they found the house swept and clean, but nobody living in it. And they came in and possessed that house all over again. Our Lord uses an illustration. People will try to clean up their lives without Christ. And first thing you know, they're into something worse. Oh, listen, my friend. Our generation in society has come to the place, if God doesn't come on the scene and perform a miracle in our midst, there's nothing left but eternal judgment. I would plead with you Christians to plead with God. Plead with God for America, for all in authority. And plead for our young people. Don't club them. Pray for them. Encourage them in the Savior. And show by your life that you belong to the Savior. Your mind has not been corrupted and your morals have not been corrupted. And live before God a life that's pleasing to Him. It'll be real before your family. Now, we come down to verses 15 to 19. And here we have spiritual corruption. We've had the mind. We've had our morals. Now, false teachers, their false doctrines, produce spiritual corruption. So I read from verses 15 to 19. They have forsaken the right way. They've gone astray. They have followed the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumbass speaking with man's voice forbade the matters of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of the darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the slaves of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Spiritual corruption. They've abandoned the things of God. They've abandoned the Word of God. They've abandoned the straight way. And they've become spiritually worthless. You know, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 13 to 15, would be a good passage to go with these verses. As a word of warning, when Paul wrote to the Corinthian church, there were men in the Corinthian church who by their philosophies and teaching and heresies were leading the people of God at Corinth away from the simplicity that was in Christ. And you remember what Paul was pleading with them, with the gentleness and meekness of Christ. Then he comes out very boldly in this 11th chapter and declares who these people are in the church, who are bringing in false heresies, false teaching. And he said, they come to you as ministers of righteousness, and marvel not, for Satan himself is transforming himself in an angel of light. What for? To deceive the people of God, if it were possible. Now it says here, they're right there in your midst. They come right there and they feast with you, as verse 13 says. And they come to corrupt you spiritually. Notice what it says. First of all, they have forsaken the right way. They've abandoned the ways of God. And they've gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. And he was rebuked for his iniquity. What was his iniquity? Commercializing divine things. And God used the ass, the dumb ass, to speak to him, to rebuke him, to rebuke his madness. What was Balaam going to do? Balaam had been sent for by Balak, the king of Moab. If I go back to the book of Numbers where you have this story, and you remember, on the way, he was going to go to curse Israel. And Balak, the king of Moab, was going to pay him for this. Now mark what he was going to do. He was a prophet. And Balak wanted Balaam to curse Israel. And when he first was asked to go, he said, I can't go. I'll ask the Lord. And he inquired of the Lord, and the Lord said, don't go. Don't go. But Balak sent some more fellows over to see him with a greater promise, with more, shall I say, more money, with more reward. And Balaam could hardly resist the reward. So he said, well, wait, and I'll talk to the Lord. So he talked to the Lord, and he seemed to have intimation, well, if you're going to go, you better go. You're insisting upon go, go. So on his way, God stops him. The ass, you remember, turned on him. And how he beat the ass and so on. And God, through the ass, talked to Balaam and warned him that he was not saved, but what God would tell him to say. But Balaam was a man whose error was material gain in the things of God. A prophet who prophesied for material gain. This is the error of Balaam for reward, spoken of in the book of Jude, verse 11. My friend, is it not true today that there are those claiming to be spiritual, and they talk very spiritual about some things, but back of it all, there's a covetous spirit wanting money. And the tragedy is so many of God's people fall for it. Now, I'm not going to sit in judgment on anybody. Don't misunderstand me. And don't ask me who I have in mind. If you've got any discernment at all, you ought to know. But in the last days, we can expect those who come with false doctrines, who despise the work of Christ and the person of Christ. That may be one thing. Others commercialize spiritual things. Others deny the authority of the Word of God. But the book here calls them false teachers. They're going to perish in their own corruption. And they've gone the way of Balaam, the commercializing of the things of Christ, a materialistic philosophy, which I say again has run over into the Church of Christ. I'm going to follow through on this in our next lesson, but I want you to know, my friends, that this is a terrible thing, the awfulness of false teachers in the church today. I plead with you, read and reread the Word of God and become established in the things you have in Christ. Start today if you haven't started.